Good morning, colleagues. Haven't seen you all in a while. I think it's been about 20 minutes since our last meeting. This is the June 12th Finance and Economic Resiliency Committee meeting. We've got a few items on the agenda today. I hope we can go quickly. I ask that we try to because we've been at this since 9 a.m. Take a couple things out of order because we have some third parties that are going to be doing presentations, some consultants that we've asked to come in, and I understand that they were with us at our last meeting, and I apologize that we had to defer some of these items. So what we'll do is take some things out of order to speed things up. And the first item is item number three, which is a discussion regarding establishing a historic preservation fund. And following that, we'll do item number eight, which is a discussion conducting a MOPID. Colleagues, if you have other things that you wish to take out of order, or staff, if there's things that need to be taken out of order because of time concerns, just let me know and we'll do that. Okay. Who's going to take item three? I know that we have a consultant who wants to bring this up. This is my item, something that we've been discussing for a while, and we engaged an outside party to give us some guidance on this. And the idea here is, historic preservation is an important part of who we are as a community. And, we have some of the best Art Deco and MIMO architecture, among others, in the country and certainly the world as well. And as we move forward, as our city ages and we deal with the effects of climate change, there's a concern that some of our historic buildings, some of our treasures, will be susceptible to aging and to the effects of climate change. And so the thought I had is, should we start preparing for that through building up a historic preservation fund? So if and when these buildings need to be updated for things like resiliency, that there is a fund that they can tap into. So much like state and federal governments have grants that they provide for historic preservation, locally we struggle with that economic challenge. And so what I wanted us to talk for doing so. And so that's the setup for this item. John, I don't know if you're gonna tee this up. Commissioner Richardson, I see you have your hand up. So if you want to go, is that your hand?
Yeah, no,
No?
I was, yeah, sure. I was just going to ask if John is going to give an update on this and what kind of money we're talking about, how would it be funded, those sorts of questions. So go ahead, John.
This is planning's item, so I'm anticipating that Carmen Sanchez or Debbie Tackett will discuss, and the consultant might be available as well.
Good morning,
Yeah.
Carmen Sanchez. Yes,
Carmen,
the
before
consultant.
you, hey, Carmen, sorry, go ahead, Carmen or Tom, Carmen.
Yes, good morning, Commissioner. This is Carmen Sanchez. The consultant is on, and she'll be able to make the presentation if possible, that she can walk us through the process.
Okay, does she have to, he or she have to share a screen? PJ, how do we do that if that's the case, if there's a presentation to be had? And I
Yes,
see Tom Mooney has his hand up as well.
I have the presentation. As long as we have the presenter there, once they call on the presentation, I'll go ahead and bring it up. We'll just ask that they will just direct me when to go to the next slide.
Tom and Carmen, I am here.
Okay, now, Commissioner, my hand was up just to let you know that the consultant's here and is ready to go.
Okay, well then, as soon as they're able and ready, we are.
I am ready. If we could cue the presentation. Good morning. My name is Heidi Siegel. I am your consultant on this project. I'm with KCI. The presentation is actually supposed to be a PowerPoint. Do you have that? If not, I can bring it up on my screen.
Yes, we can see it.
That's the report cover. So I just
wanted... Okay. PJ, help us out here. I'm not sure who's taking over the screen.
All right, just give me 1 second. I'm just going to allow her to go ahead and share it, and then she can actually take control. Heidi, you should have the ability to go ahead and run the
program. Okay, I'm bringing it up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, colleagues, I'll tell you what I was thinking in doing this is there's no urgency on my end to have X dollar amount set aside in next year's budget. This is really a planning item for future years. This would be something kind of like an endowment in my mind that we would fund, and it would build up over time over the next even decade, much like we have the Cultural Arts Council has a fund. The thought would be is we would create a pool of money with a funding mechanism or funding mechanisms, and then, you know, start establishing guidelines on, you know, how an applicant might be able to tap into those funds. So this is really setting those things into motion if there's an appetite to even do this. Okay, Heidi, are you ready?
I'm ready, thank you. So, and I'll go pretty quickly because I know you've had a long morning and you have an agenda ahead of you. So just by way of background, the Historic Preservation Fund was one of the tasks that came out of the North Beach Master Plan. If you recall, it was the creation of the two local historic districts, creation of two conservation districts, and the creation of a historic preservation fund. Within the context of the North Beach Master Plan, the historic preservation fund was to restore historic details on eligible properties and also implement sea level rise adaptations, as the chair mentioned. One of the differences in our recommendations and report from the North Beach Master Plan was that the master plan said that developers should pay a fee into this fund in exchange for additional floor area or height on their property, so intensity or density. Our recommendation is that that connection not take place, that there be no connection between the Historic Preservation Fund and any kind of development bonus. So our recommendation is to limit the Historic Preservation Fund to North Beach. We did look at doing it citywide, but we think that limiting it to North Beach would allow for controlled implementation, will allow for more impactful improvements, and then it would give it the city a chance to go back and assess the program. So this would include the North Shore National and Local District, as well as the Normandy Isle National and Local District. Our recommendation for the type of projects to be considered for the fund would include facade repairs, everything from paint to stucco to new windows, life safety. We've heard from developers in that area about the exterior railings on the buildings in North Beach, not necessarily meeting fire code, and opportunities to upgrade them in a historically correct context. Removal of street facing air conditioning units, landscape improvements, some small building upgrades, hurricane resilient roofs, definitely elevating seawalls, structural repairs, building system upgrades, and as well as elevating the finished floor of an existing building or structure for climate adaptation. That would have to take place as the fund grows. We recommend ranking of the projects with the first category, the highest category, being structures that contribute either to the historical significance or architectural significance of the city. The second category, that would be projects that contribute towards climate adaptation. And the third category would be if the applicant has a financial hardship or they're also receiving other funds, and this would supplement work that's taking place. We also believe that ranking considerations should be given to catalyst projects, properties that are visible from the major corridors, and properties that provide workforce or affordable housing. So how will the funds be distributed? Our recommendation is that the establishment of a Historic Preservation Fund Committee. Now, granted, everything from this point forward, I'll be talking about dollar amount, and that this report was completed before COVID, and the city had to buckle up a little bit financially. So this can all be adapted, or as the chair said, put off for future years. The fund should be managed by the Office of Budget and Performance Improvement. Membership should definitely include historic preservation staff and capital improvement project staff. The committee would be responsible for reviewing and ranking the grant applications. And we've provided three different funding split options. Those include a 50-50, so using a $5,000 grant as an example, the fund would provide $2,500 and the property owner would provide $2,500. Another split is 80-20, which would be $4,000 from the fund using that $5,000 example, or $1,000 from the property owner. And then 60-40 with $3,000 from the fund and $2,000 from the property owner. For the fund to be successful, we also recommend these additional implementation considerations. The city should explore an option to place deed restriction on rents with consideration to the computer, the consumer price index, the CPI. So basically, a landlord cannot raise rents if they have this grant for a set amount of time. Continuation of property ownership. Find ways to discourage displacement and gentrification. I've given the example of controlling rents. Equitable distribution of the funds. And we want to make sure it's going to the small time owner as well as the larger developer, and for results to be measured. So possible funding sources. One would be the establishment of a demolition fee. Currently, there's a fixed fee of $250 that is collected for all demolition. Within the report, we're recommending that it would be 10 cents per square foot for demolition, and that would help fund the fund. We did a quick study to see what that would have looked like in 2019 with building permits. This is just an off-the-cuff, not understanding everything about those demolition permits that came in. But based on that square footage, we would be close to 58,000 based on those demolition fees, and those are citywide. Look at code violation revenues and see if those can be diverted into this fund. And also look, and again, this will all change, I think, because of the current economic situation we're in, matching grant funds, either through HUD funding and the SHIP program, other similar programs. That's the conclusion of my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, colleagues, let me see. I see Commissioner Richardson having his hand up, and then Tom, you have your hand up as well, or no?
No, I just had it up to let you know that the consultant was ready to make the presentation, so.
Thank you. Commissioner Richardson, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. I noticed on the examples, they were relatively low dollar amounts, like $5, $5,000, $10,000. So when I first heard of this item, I was expecting these were going to be big ticket items, but maybe the consultant could tell us, Ms. Siegel, are you thinking these projects would be in the range of $5,000 to $10,000?
I think the idea is that it would supplement a project and not necessarily fund a whole project. Using the 58,000 that we were able to identify, had we been able to go back in time based on the 2019 demolition fees, you're looking at under 60,000 to fund the grant, to fund the program initially. So you would get maybe 10 projects out of it. So you want to spread it. Long term, if there's other opportunities to divert to the fund and you're doing those $50,000 projects, I think that would be great. But to get up and running, you don't want to isolate it just to one project.
Okay. And then maybe you could speak a little bit more to the North Beach versus the rest of the city. When I think about historically significant structures, most of us think about the Art Deco district in South Beach. But you're saying we should not focus on that now. We should focus on North Beach. Is that your recommendation?
So, yes, for now it is. We see that more investment has historically taken place down in South Beach with the historic structures, and we are starting to see that movement take place in North Beach. We thought isolating it to North Beach would allow us also to, similar to more bang for your buck, to see more cohesive impacts to the area as opposed to South Beach, which is much larger and has already had a lot of investment in it.
Okay, and are you familiar with any of the statewide programs regarding art and cultural historical properties and grant opportunities there?
Yes, we work a lot within the state grant programs, but most of those are for public properties and not private properties. Miami Beach properties do have the opportunity, a lot of them do, to take advantage of federal tax credits. So this would be, from a developer's perspective, this would be just one more financial tool in their toolbox, be it federal tax credits, Miami-Dade County tax credits, or even city tax credits.
So you're looking at this program would be for private property owners versus public properties?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Samuel, and you have your hand up.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I like this concept and am supportive of it moving forward. I have always been a believer that we've paid great attention appropriately to our public right-of-ways and infrastructure, but that ultimately we don't just want resilient infrastructure, we want a resilient community. So I think I'd like to see this discussion continue. I think some of the implementation considerations that were teed up are very important. You know, if we are committing public funds, then I think it's appropriate that there are some, you know, rules of the road of how that money is used. And I think those are very important that they get factored in. I tend to support the 50-50 model. I know there were a few flavors. My initial reaction is I'd like goodness for more folks. Right now we're providing zero, so 50% sounds like a big jump on zero. So I like the 50-50. Clearly we need to, you know, sort of lay out and, you know, give some thought to the funding options. I do want to make one other comment, and I've made this comment before, but we have a parallel opportunity of a resiliency fund, which the Land Use Committee has been discussing. It was on the March Commission agenda. I've been working very closely with the city administration on this, and I think they're complementary. There's some very similarities, but differences. For example, the Resiliency Fund would apply to all private property, not just historic. The Resiliency Fund would be more, at this point, citywide. The Resiliency Fund also had an element perhaps providing incentives as properties were impacted by neighborhood projects. So I just wanted to bring that to life and encourage city staff, which I'm sure they are, to continue to collaborate on how these could be complementary in nature. But overall, I support us moving forward with this. I think it sends the right statement, and I'd like to, you know, continue this dialogue about a historic preservation fund.
Hey, Commissioner Richardson, do you still have your hand up, or is that a leftover?
Sorry. Okay. That's a leftover. Thank you. Okay. Sorry.
So, yeah, Commissioner Samuel, thank you for reminding us about the parallel track of the resiliency fund. Yeah, and these can certainly be complementary. And, mm-hmm. you know, my thought there is that, you know, maybe we build into the guidelines for funding in either of the funds that are going to be created, you know, whether or not we allow double dipping or not. And as we think about, you know, prioritization, my first prioritization with the historic preservation was really to try to have, you know, an applicant get sort of first priority if the funds were going to be used for resiliency, not exclusively, but certainly if it's, you know, to install, you know, hurricane shutters or, you know, storm windows or, you know, other things to protect a building, that would certainly be a priority. But, you know, we can flesh that out later on. I think right now we're just discussing whether we're interested in this, and if so, you know, moving it forward to identify the funding mechanisms, and we can always create the guidelines later on. I thought this was a good presentation personally. I don't see, we'll take public comment if there are anybody from the public who wants to speak. I see Daniel Vaisha has his hand up. Colleagues, if you don't have any comments, I'd like to hear from the public for a few minutes. Daniel, you're up.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, commissioners, for your continued work and particularly this issue. My only comment will be, and I am very realistic that this is a great opportunity, but we want to make sure this provides enough money to incentivize the property owner. And I know funding is limited, but if you're only giving out a $5,000 grant, I'm not sure what the owner is going to be able to do with that amount of money and take on those types of restrictions. So if we're going to motivate them to improve the property and implement these restrictions, then I just feel they're going to want to see more of a benefit as far as that grant. And that was my only comment. I'm very happy with what you guys discussed. I think it's a good first step, but I'd like to also make sure this program is successful and motivates property owners to preserve our historic buildings. Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any other members from the public who wish to speak. Colleagues, what do you want to do here? Do you want to move this? Okay, so Commissioner Samuel, you have your hand up.
Yeah, no, I appreciate Mr. Battilla's comment. I just had a question. What outreach have we done to the community around this program? We want something that's going to be a home run and successful. To what extent have we heard from the people that might apply? And if we haven't had that opportunity yet, what might we do to accelerate that so that, we're sort of listening as we're going through this?
So we met with the Miami Design Preservation League. For this one, we didn't go any further with public involvement, as this is just setting up the parameters of the study. But we did speak to MDPL about it.
Okay, thank you for that response. Mr. Chair, I think there are a couple things that we should do. I do think we should have some additional outreach with the property owners and listen to the customer, if you will. To your point, it looks like there needs to be some more work on funding. But if the question in front of us is conceptually today, should we proceed? I think we should. And I would like those to be at least a couple of the next steps.
Yeah. And Commissioner Richardson, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I like the concept. I do think we need to do some more work on this in terms of program. I think, as Daniel said, it was my thought exactly. We're offering $5,000 or $10,000 to somebody and 50% of that. So if we give them $10,000 but ask them to share in that, we're really giving them $5,000. And we say, oh, we're gonna impose some sort of rent restriction in exchange for $5,000. I'm not sure that the benefit is going to be there for the owner. So I think we need to do a little bit more work there and hear from people who might be interested in this type of program. And also, I think we need to think about funding sources because as Ms. Siegel suggested or advised, this report was done before the COVID. We know we're going to have a tough budget year. I'm not in favor of raising taxes right now on demolition fees. I think that is something that we need to spend some more time on before we do that. So I very much like the concept. I want to keep it alive. I think I'm in favor of hearing from the people who would use this, get their ideas, and also I think we need to spend more time exploring funding sources.
All good suggestions. I mean, this item now has actually been floating around actually 2 years. So in the interest of time, what I think we can do, if you guys are all right, let's in the interim, reach out to some property owners, to the community for further guidance and input. We could put this on. We don't have any meetings in August, maybe the July meeting, if not the September finance meeting. We can all think about it some more. I also don't want to be raising taxes. And like I said earlier, I'm not even looking to get this financially rolling for some time. I'm more interested in building up a pool of money while we flesh out the guidelines. And that's, you know, something could start taking place in a couple of years. But in the meantime, establish the fund, get the funding mechanisms going, allow the money to start accumulating while we tweak the guidelines. I don't want to start developing guidelines today. I think that is a conversation for another day. Some of the things you said, Commissioner Richardson, about, you know, rent controls and stuff like that, I'm not in favor of. And I don't personally think we should be going there. I think the grants should be enough to actually get a job done. I agree, $5,000, $10,000 probably is not sufficient to complete a job in a building. So that would have to be part of the thinking that we have to do in the guidelines. But why don't we, you know, Tom, I don't know if Debbie Tackett's on, you know, do some outreach now during the summer, get some guidelines, and we can bring this back in September.
Yeah. Chair, another thought is maybe while we're doing this additional work is we could look at whether or not there are any other cities or counties or states that are doing a similar program, because I believe there may be some private funding sources out there that may match us, so that if we have a funding source for $50,000, maybe we can find a private enterprise that will match us and we can get that to $100,000. So I'd like us to explore that as well. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that. I was going to actually mention the same thing. So yes, let's look at models in other cities, and you touched on an excellent point, which does exist. Obviously there are state and private sources for money. I think by having a city source, it puts us in a really good position to go get that money, because they know that their contribution will be matched by a local municipality. So, you know, we could possibly have one of the best historic preservation initiatives of any city. But I do think let's not reinvent the wheel here. Let's try to copy things that are already working. Okay.
Mr. Chair, just a question, just for clarification. So you want to keep it in committee and have staff come back in September, or do you want to make a motion recommending establishing the grant program, but with the details to be determined by the Finance Committee at a later date?
Colleagues, I'll go and then take a comment. Rather than bring this to the full commission and then have to tie up everybody's time, just out of respect for everyone's time, I'm comfortable keeping this in committee. Let us do some more of the work so that we can present a formal, more fleshed out recommendation to the full commission. If we hear this in September, there certainly seems to be an appetite for doing this. Gives us another 2 months plus to work out some more of the questions that we have. Hopefully in the September meeting, we can make that formal recommendation and send it to the full commission thereafter. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, Summer? Chair, that's exactly my thought. I let's keep it in committee. Let's bring it back in September and see if we're ready to send it to the commission after some additional work there. That would be, I would agree with that.
Commissioner Stanley, you had your hand up.
I agree.
Okay, let's move on. Item number 8, this is my item, and we have some folks who want to do a presentation. I think Jose is going to kick us off. I just want to say that, so the title, a bit misleading. I brought this forward really as a mobility issue to continue to expand mobility offerings in our community, you know, whether it's bike share, the freebie that we use, and, you know, trolleys and everything. There are municipalities that have shared moped or scooter services. This one is discuss a service pilot with a company called Revel. I'm not necessarily wed to this company in any way. What I wanted to talk about is really, are we interested in having a shared moped scooter program in the city? The provider can be anybody, but I just wanted to see what the appetite would be for having a shared scooter program. Jose, are you going to do this?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair. I'll be happy to provide a brief introduction just to supplement what you stated. We had a conference call with Revel, and it included our parking department as well, Saul Francis, parking director. And it was a very productive conference call. We learned a lot about their company, about their business model, about their services. We also learned that they're providing their services currently for the city of Miami, specifically the Miami Parking Authority, through a revenue share agreement that they have with them. And then in terms of electric mopeds as a transportation mode in general, you know, they're vehicles. They're treated as vehicles by Florida statutes. They've got tags, license plates. They use the street. They don't use the sidewalks or other, the bike lanes, for example. They don't use those. So it's a vehicle. It's a environmentally friendly vehicle with zero carbon emissions. So in terms of providing a mobility service, we felt that there's some value in exploring this. And as you mentioned, Revel is one company. Since we've had that conference call with them, we've been made aware of another company that is out there and potentially interested. So that's why for this item, our recommendation is to further explore this and to potentially issue a competitive solicitation, if that's the will of this body and the city commission, to issue a competitive solicitation, such as a request for letters of interest, to see what other companies are out there and potentially pilot this.
Thank you. Jose, other cities in Dade County that are doing this, if not other cities that you're aware of that have done this and successes, both from a mobility perspective, and then I imagine there's a revenue component to this too.
Yes. Well, as I mentioned, Revel currently has a revenue share agreement with the city of Miami to provide electric scooter sharing citywide. And we talked a little bit with them about the City of Miami program. I also spoke with the Miami Parking Authority, who is administering that program. And so one of the things, for example, just to share some of the information we learned, is that the average trip length is about 3 miles. It ranges between, 1 to 5 miles, but 3 is about the average. So it appears to be replacing car trips, vehicular trips, particularly short vehicular trips. It costs $5 to sign up, $1 to unlock the moped, and 31 cents a minute to ride. The maximum operating speed of the mopeds are 30 miles an hour. As I mentioned, they can only operate on roads, not on sidewalks or bike lanes, and they cannot operate on causeways that are, that have a high operating speed. So for example, in our city, they would not be able to operate on the Julia Tuttle Causeway, and believe they wouldn't be able to operate on the MacArthur Causeway either. They would be able to operate on the Venetian Causeway. Their model is, based on revenue share, and there are a couple different ways that they can structure that revenue share model. They can provide the revenues through a permit fee to the city.
Jose, let me ask you, do you know the revenue that this is generated for the city of Miami?
Well, Mr. Chair, the city of Miami started this program practically right before the coronavirus pandemic, maybe 30 days before. So they don't have a good indication as to what the revenue potential could be.
What about in other cities? Do we have any information on whether it's this company or another company's revenue back to the city this year?
Not yet, Mr. Chair. We can certainly look at other cities and what the revenue share is there. There are electric scooter companies that operate throughout the country, but are not necessarily here locally, but may be interested, if the city issues a solicitation.
Okay, great. Commissioner Richardson, you have your hand up.
Yeah, it seems like I remember we had some discussion about this before, because I think we talked about the possibility of maybe using space in our parking garages that are not being fully utilized right now, right? So where would these scooters be parked? Would they be parked anywhere? You can leave them anywhere, like those Lime foot scooters years ago or recently. So Jose, where do people leave scooters? They pick them up anywhere, or is there a station?
There are a couple different ways to approach that. They basically park on regular on-street parking spaces. The model that Revel has with the city of Miami, the parking authority, the user of the moped does not have to pay for parking, because Revel already, in essence, has paid for that as part of the revenue share that they pay the city of Miami on a quarterly basis. But they would basically just park on street parking spaces. I defer to Saul. I'm not sure if he's on the call, but in terms of parking and parking garages, I think probably we would have to talk about that a little further with both Revel and the parking department to see if that would be a viable option for them.
Good morning, Saul here. I did want to chime in. So the idea would be for the curbside spaces or perhaps the surface lots. We don't allow mopeds or motorcycles in our garages because of the metallurgic properties of these vehicles. The gated equipment works on a loop, and it detects the vehicle that's in that loop. And sometimes it doesn't detect scooters or motorcycles or mopeds for that matter. And what winds up happening is they sometimes the gate comes down. Years ago, we had some issues with some liability with folks that got knocked down off of those. So we just stopped at that point and did not allow them in there. But certainly curbside and lots could be an option.
So so under this program, do people just leave, if you finish your trip at a particular location, you just leave the moped there on the street? Is that the way this model works?
I believe so, on a parking space, on a designated parking space. And then one of the things that Rebel mentioned to us is that they look for what's called dead zones on streets, maybe areas where you cannot, they're not sufficiently large to park a vehicle, and they're typically striped off like a gore area. They look to try to capitalize on those areas to park these mopeds.
And I'll just add, Jose, we would work with them on those. Some of those locations there may be sightline issues with placing a moped there or a vehicle. So depending on the location, we can certainly look at those on a case-by-case basis, but just want to put that on the record.
Okay. Saul, what about, I'm thinking of the parking garage at City Hall, the new garage that's just to the west of City Hall, that first floor area, it doesn't have any gates on it. So why do we not allow motorcycles to park in there? Because there are no gates.
So in that particular, and that's one of the, we have only two garages that have an open area that does not have a gated section. The other one is the 42nd Street garage. We do have a section there for scooters and mopeds and motorcycles on that ground floor section. It's actually metered parking. It's segregated from the circulation and the gated system of the garage.
Okay.
So that could
So those are the two exceptions we have right now.
Correct.
Okay. Good. And is the recommendation, Jose, of the administration to move forward with a competitive pilot program? Is that your recommendation? Wait, we can't hear you. Undo your mute. You're muted, I think.
Thank you. Yes, that's correct, Commissioner.
And how do you have a recommendation on how long a pilot program would be? Would it be 1 year, 2 years, or have you thought about that?
Typically, these pilots, I would think, would be at least a year, 6 months to a year, probably leaning towards 1 year. That's what we've also been discussing on a similar initiative with Citibike for electric-assisted bicycles in that case. But we're looking at a pilot of about a year. So this would be similar.
Okay. Well, I know Chair Commissioner Samuelin wants to speak, but I'll make a motion to move this item for a pilot period not to exceed 2 years. And then I think some additional work needs to be done on parking, but I think the administration could work on that. So that would be what I would offer, and then Commissioner Samuelin may have some other ideas that we should hear. So thank you.
Yeah, I see Commissioner Samuelin's hand up. Commissioner Richardson, point of clarification, your motion is to move forward to do what with this company or to issue a request for proposals?
Yeah, no, the administration is recommending a competitive. So I think that's what, you know, to do a competitive and certainly allow this company to participate. And now they said there's another company that's expressed an interest as well.
Okay, just want to clarify that. Commissioner Samuelin, your hand is up.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm supportive of moving forward. This sharing economy continues to grow. Micro-mobility solutions certainly are an important emerging trend. The administration appears supportive of this. I definitely appreciate that this is a competitive process. If there's only one player that fits the criteria, so be it. But I think we're moving in the right direction. So I'm ready to second the motion. I would just go back to the Commissioner Richardson who made the motion. You know, 2 years seems a bit long to me for a pilot. You know, I'm wondering if you would be okay if we said no longer than 1 year. I'd like to sort of have a good amount of time, but two seems long. So I would offer that as sort of a friendly amendment if you're open to that.
Yeah, I absolutely. I said a period not to exceed 2 years, but if we want to do a pilot not to exceed a year, I'm perfectly fine with that as well.
Wonderful. Then I'll go ahead and second the motion as amended that Commissioner Richardson made.
Great. Well, in the interest of time, let's just move forward. No more comments. I support moving forward with that. So staff, do you have everything you need to move forward? Anyone from staff? I don't know if Alex Dennis is on or who would be issuing the RFP, but I guess this would go to full commission for approval on consent or something, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Colleagues or staff, we're back to the regular scheduled agenda. We took a few things out of order. Is there anything we need to take out of order? Otherwise, we'll just go back in numerical sequence.
Numerical is fine with me.
Okay, Commissioner Richardson, you have your hand up. Is that just a leftover? Okay. All right, so let's do number one, which is the discussion regarding the City of Miami Beach's efforts to communicate the dangers of e-cigarettes and vaping among youth in Miami Beach. Is this you, Tanya?
I think it's me and Leslie. So Leslie had written the item and we had been helping her get it done, but we did work with Leslie closely to make sure that the ads were placed and they've been in the magazine. We've had advertising on MBTV. We did paid ads on social media. And we were geo-targeting and geo-fencing in social media. And then, unfortunately, the pandemic hit. So we kind of stopped that, mainly because we didn't want the ads to get lost in the middle of everything. So if we're going to spend this money, we wanted to spend it and make sure that it was seen. So we have paused that for a little while. We still have a couple hundred dollars to spend on that.
Colleagues, anything?
No. Well, I would just say, Chair, I would say, Tanya, let's focus on obviously using the money where we think we can best hit the people. I'm not sure our youth are reading the Miami Beach magazine that the city puts out, but they certainly are all over social media. So I think you know how to find them. So use the money wisely. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And just to clarify, it doesn't cost us anything to put the ad in the magazine. We just include it as the magazine. And the magazine is on hold right now, as you can imagine. So the money has been going towards the social media, where obviously we believe that we're going to hit them.
And are you going to need some more money, or have we allocated a certain amount previously that you're running out of, or?
We discussed before, and I took $500. I just found $500 in our budget and utilized that. There isn't any money that's dedicated to this. So, you know, I could work with Leslie and see if she has any funding that we could, you know, continue to do these paid ads.
Okay, I appreciate that. I think that maybe Leslie, I don't know if you want to add to that, but you know, a couple hundred dollars doesn't go very far. And so maybe we need to keep this in mind as we're putting our budget together for the next fiscal year and make sure that a few dollars get allocated to this. Because I think this is a very important message that we need to communicate to our youth.
Okay, thank you. Anything else?
I think Leslie wants to say something.
Leslie, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't see your hand up, Leslie, but I'll take this. That works.
Yes, I agree. As a matter of fact, I'd just like to add that our youth commission, who had made the request for this additional support, is very appreciative of our efforts. They have indicated that there is serious concerns within their age group as to the use or misuse of vaping within the teen community. We do actually have a line item, Commissioner Richardson, for drug prevention and intervention programs. And we have historically brought in experts to speak with our youth and our parents on the topics of drug prevention and intervention. We can probably allocate some of those funds specifically for this purpose.
That's great.
Great. Okay. So we'll conclude this item. And I will say, since I haven't seen many of you in so long and things are opening up, I know people are getting their hair done. Tanya, your hair looks fantastic. Tom Mooney, I don't know. I think it's time you go to a barber. You got some curls going on there. Commissioner Richardson looks the same
what
as
about
always.
What about
no, I just commented. Yours looks the same as always. Congrats. But if I don't comment on your hair, don't be offended. But I noticed a few. You got some interesting things going on. Tanya, you look great. Tom,
thank
you. I think you need to see a barber. Leslie, you look great.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll go to item number two. John Woodruff, or I'm not sure who's taking this one on, or maybe Eric, I'm not sure. Update regarding the Economic Development Department. Regarding steps taken to streamline the business permitting process, improve business retention, and attract new businesses. This is probably more important than ever now as we come out of quarantine and, you know, look at the landscape of our local economy. Unfortunately, I think we're going to see a lot of businesses that have closed. And so I think we should definitely talk about this a lot. How are we going to attract new businesses in the wake of, you know, what we've just gone through? This was originally about streamlining, you know, the BTR process, et cetera, but I think this is going to be a bigger discussion. So whoever wants to kick this off, this is a
Mr. Chair, Amy can take lead on this, and if I need to add anything, I'll be happy to jump in.
Good morning. So, Commissioner, as you pointed out, this item originally was about our streamlining processes, which we're still moving forward with a lot of the same directions of bifurcating the BTR and CU process, doing the outreach to make sure that everyone knows of the refined processes and the simplified processes. But we also are looking at how we can attract new businesses in our new normal. Or take the moment to actually reevaluate how we can diversify our economy with everything that has now transpired. And we have were approached by a group that was doing work with our previous economic development team that I think is going to be a great part of our approach going forward in attracting new businesses, is that they have these great tools that will go on our website to talk about all the different data and statistics that are and modeling that goes into businesses reopening here on the beach and to attract them. And it has all these mechanisms to create marketing material that we could also then use as part of social media and an attraction of new business markets. And we're working with CBRE to evaluate, to go back into reevaluating our our land and our retail spaces so that we can look for newer opportunities and to attract new people into those areas to kickstart the economies in those spaces as we come up with new designs and new thoughts. We're really wanting to look into the tech sector, looking into, somebody has reached out about looking into creating a market for sea level rise and all the materials that go into addressing construction for sea level rise. So someone's reached out about wanting to engage with us for really bringing into that market and starting that business culture here in our Miami Beach. We've got some great opportunities ahead of us, and we want to be a part of leading that going forward.
Okay, Commissioner Sandlin, your hand's up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. No, this topic couldn't be more important or timely. I just want to offer a couple thoughts. First on, I think overall, you know, safety remains a critical consideration. It's one thing for us to say things are open. It's another for the customers to have confidence. So some of the things we're doing around MB standard and elevating our safety standards to me is critical. I really like the resiliency idea. We are a leader in resiliency. We're natural, and there's co-benefits too. Not only is there an economic benefit, but we could learn and benefit from having those places. So I think that's one that warrants additional discussion. Financial services is one that we've talked about. I believe Commissioner Arreola has mentioned in the past, and I actually shared an idea around this at one point, but specifically, we have a lot of folks in Manhattan that are perhaps looking for other homes, maybe thinking of coming here. You know, that's work that can be done virtually or in offices. And we have a lot of folks that live here and are part of that. I'd like the administration to think about maybe some sort of financial services advisory board that might help us frame that and then might have some connections for folks that want to come. As a former Manhattanite, I could say the move to Miami Beach is a wonderful idea. Lastly, you highlighted an important strategic issue. I think we're all learning just how dependent we are on tourism and hospitality. You know, we've seen that through now Zika and Irma and now COVID-19. And that's not a bad thing that we have that, but I think it warrants a longer discussion around what are the implications of that? What might we do knowing that some of these challenges keep coming forward? So I'm going to put something on the commission agenda that we can have a sort of broader strategic discussion about how we address our dependency on tourism and what might we be thinking about in that vein.
Agreed.
Okay. Commissioner Richardson, I don't see your hand up. You know, one of the thoughts I had on this item that I'd like to direct staff to do, you know, in the next month or two, to do an inventory of our business landscape and try to get a sense of business closures as well as new applicants for BTRs, talk to landlords, Lincoln Road and elsewhere, just to get a sense of where the market's at in terms of where rents are at, where opportunities are. Because I think that'll inform us of, you know, what we can do as a commission to either attract new businesses or highlight, you know, business opportunities. I'd like to get a landscape, and I'd like to direct staff, you know, use sort of the next 2 months to start, you know, taking a poll of local businesses, maybe work with the chamber to try to get a sense of, you know, what's the landscape. We know what tax revenues are going to be because we're starting to get that data, and it's not pretty, but I'd like to know business closures and business openings.
Absolutely.
Commissioner Richardson, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. You know, Jimmy mentioned today, I think, that he was going to be bringing a recommendation regarding a potential hire on the economic development. I'm going to bring an item at the next commission meeting to have, first of all, to have a conversation about economic development related to community development, because one of the things I've talked about before is I think that we as a city have struggled here in that we have an economic development department, and I felt like in the short time that I've been here, a lot of the work in the past was spent on community development because that was before us. And I think that the economic development needs somehow got slighted. That's just my personal view. And I think economic development versus community development is even more important now. And I want to make sure that if we're going to have a new person come in, I want to know how we're going to structure that department so that economic development does not get put to the side and somebody gets focused all on community development. They're both very, very important. But I think now more than ever, we need to be focused on bringing new industries into the city and looking at new opportunities. And that is an economic development activity versus a community development. And I'm going to be bringing an item in the next commission meeting so we can all talk about that collectively, because I don't want that to be lost. Thank you.
Yeah, great words and idea, and I support that as well. You know, one of the thoughts I had, and I was going to bring this up, I think, in our full commission meeting, and it's something I've been interested in for a long time, but even more so now, both because of what's happened economically with our society, but also just in terms of our society in general. You know, I would like to see us be more aggressive in attracting minority-owned businesses, specifically African-American-owned businesses, because, you know, even though African-Americans make up less than 4% of our residents, our tourist market is easily 15-20% of our local economy. And there are some fabulous Black-owned businesses here in Dade County, but they're not necessarily in neighborhoods where they've got the best economic opportunity. And so in any business, you want to go where the money is and where the opportunities are. And so to what extent can we help, you know, small businesses that are in other parts of our community either establish a second business here or relocate here? Because this is where the money is, and to try to create some economic opportunities for folks that haven't enjoyed the opportunities that others have. And so that's something I'm going to be bringing forward, but I want to bring it up today. I don't see any hands up. Let me see people from the public. No one's hands up. So how do we want to proceed with this item? We can bring this back to our next finance meeting with some updates from staff. I've asked for a survey. I don't know that a month is enough time, but I think it is important for us to know what the landscape is looking like. Business closures, business openings, talk to some real estate professionals, as well as local businesses that are struggling. I know in my neighborhood, in Sunset Harbor, it's not a good situation. We're definitely going to lose 5 or 6 businesses that I know of. And I know for a fact, several restaurants, many of which all of us hold dear, are really struggling, and their landlord is not playing nice. I'm going to be bringing something up in our land use committee meeting at the end of the month to deal with that. But we've got situations where folks have been closed for 2 or 3 months, are delayed in their rent payments, and landlords are not playing nice, and I think are looking to foreclose on them and hope to find some, you know, national tenant to replace the local owned businesses. And I don't think that's going to serve our community well. So this is very, very important. I think we got to put this on our long list of priorities to deal with.
Yeah.
And I'd ask my colleagues to, you know, also do this. It is on my list of priorities, and I know we all have long lists, but I'd ask that you guys do the same, because it's a great opportunity for us to fix things that we wish we had dealt with 10, 20 years ago. But we have a really good opportunity now to rethink Lincoln Road, rethink Ocean Drive, but also to help preserve the mom and pops that we've lost over the last 20 years, and we're in danger of losing again, to do something now affirmatively to make sure we don't lose them.
I agree. So we'll come back. We have already started with trying to get a lay of the land of what businesses were closing or weren't going to be able to reopen or who are struggling. But we'll add to that also looking at the market rates, how those are changing, and then what opportunities or what people are, new businesses are opening up, and then opportunities for attracting Black-owned businesses. We'll come back with all of that.
Okay,
Perfect.
And I would say, Chair, if I could just add, Amy, when you look at the opportunities for attracting more Black-owned businesses, can you look specifically at incentives? Because I think that's part of the answer. You know, what incentives might be available to us, you know?
Perfect.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah, look, we've got some great opportunities. We're going to have a lot of vacancies, which is bad, but the good news is we can maybe help fill some of those vacancies. You know, you have some wonderful businesses throughout Dade County that if they wanted to expand or relocate, maybe we can attract them here through, you know, partnering with them and being creative and getting them to come over. Commissioner Samuel, and you have your hand up.
Yep, thank you. This has been a great discussion. I will absolutely add this economic vitality to my list as the chair recommended. This is, you know, sort of a very critical priority. Amy, that was a good recap. I would just sort of highlight a couple things again that I really do think MB standard and safety remains a critical value. And I think especially in this time, financial services firms, you know, maybe are open to other locations and we've got a nice base to work with. So timing might be right for something like an advisory board or targeted recruitment in that. I just appreciate if you add that to the list.
Absolutely. Will do. I apologize for leaving that one off because you're right.
Okay, we'll move forward. We can conclude this item. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, hang on. I see an attendee with their hand up. Daniel Baisha, you have your hand up.
Yeah, my apologies. I was just listening there. But, you know, with regards to North Beach specifically, you know, we are suffering deeply with the economic loss that everyone's experiencing citywide, but specifically businesses. We already had a lot of vacant storefronts, and we are certainly adding to that. And I'll have a full report for the commission before the end of this month on exactly how many storefronts we have closed. But we do need economic development, you know, specifically focus. We don't have a bid. We don't have a CDC. So I just want to keep that at the forefront of this commission, that our community can certainly benefit from some type of economic development office that's highly focused in our area and trying to bring things into a better condition through this pandemic. I know we have a lot of plans for town center, and I know there's a lot coming, but between now and then, it would be highly beneficial if we would consider some kind of CDC, some kind of community organization that can focus on economic development. Thank you so much.
Thank you for those comments. Okay, let's conclude this item, move on to item number four. Vice Chair Richardson, let me pass the gavel to you. I'm going to be listening. I just got to attend to my son for a few moments, and I'll be right back.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chair. And Commissioner Miner is still here, right? I just want to make sure I've got three people. Is Commissioner Miner still here so I can call on him if as the alternate? I know Commissioner Samuel is here. Okay, who's got, this is the pilot program on curb flow. Who is going to present from the city?
Good afternoon, Commissioner. This is Saul Francis. I'll be presenting.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So CurbFlow is a curb management service that provides a reservation platform for deliveries, essentially at freight loading zones and things of that nature. They charge purveyors or delivery companies a fee for that reservation platform. And by the way, that fee, there would, as part of this, there would be a code amendment required to establish a third-party fee because we do charge for our freight loading zones through a permit program. So confirm that with our city attorney's office, and that would be part of this process. But essentially what CurbFlow can do is they're able to monitor the freight loading zones to determine if there's a vehicle there. They alert the city that there's potentially a vehicle there and to take enforcement actions and so forth. So curb management service is something that's popular throughout the nation and so forth, and being able, obviously, to provide efficient loading activities. That brings us to the existing conditions, of course, with the pandemic. We still have availability of parking, and we're not having issues with any congestion regarding our freight loading zones and so forth. In addition, we're concerned with adding additional fees to the business community or processes for that matter, for the foreseeable future. What our recommendation at this point is to table this until such time when the activity and the parking demand and utilization return to a level that would warrant the need of a curb management service. And then at that point, perhaps issue a procurement, perhaps an RFP, could be crafted in a manner where there's a one-year pilot program, and then as a phase one and a phase two with an extension if the phase one is successful. Then happy to answer any questions there may be.
So my first question is, are there other cities in our area that are using this this program?
In our region, we've not found any. There was an attachment to the item with a PowerPoint that CurbFlow provided. They're currently operating in Washington, D.C., and providing the service there.
Okay. Commissioner Samuelin, did you have any questions?
I do. A question and a comment. Saul, knowing what you know, if it was the will of this body to proceed, you know, a little more expeditiously, would your leaning be towards a pilot, or would you want to do something a little longer term, or is that something you need to noodle a bit?
So in all candor, what we'd really like to see is what's out there in the industry regarding curb management. CurbFlow is certainly one of them, and they have a very interesting platform that might serve the city well, but there may be other services out there that might be viable as well. So this gives us an opportunity to see what's in the industry from a higher a 30,000 foot perspective, and of course establish hopefully the business community to come back, and when there's that activity that would warrant it, then of course it's something that we could pursue.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I appreciate that we want to hear from the business community and see what's in the industry, though I think some sort of procurement could get us going on that path. I hope that we're going to see business start to pick up, and this actually could generate some revenue. My own experiences suggested that sometimes these things take longer than we would think. So if we like the concept, and I personally do like the concept, not married to any platform per se, I'd rather start sooner rather than later. I mean, because otherwise it's just going to circle back and we have to then address the same issue. I think we should move forward in some way, whether it's with a pilot in a competitive manner, because I think this does present an opportunity.
Commissioner, you and I are thinking along the same lines today on this and many other issues. I appreciate that business is down right now, but I am concerned about tabling the idea and then waiting for the business to get there, then proceeding. Right. I think we're losing valuable time, and it cost us nothing to move forward. So if that was a motion that you made, I would certainly second that we move forward with a pilot program, competitive process for a pilot program. This CurbFlow has identified themselves. There may be others, as Mr. Francis mentioned, and we certainly don't want to exclude anybody, but I want to move forward with this and at least hear from people. And the truth is that if we get the proposals in and we don't think it's a fit for the city, we don't have to award a contract. So I would like to move forward on this as well, if you're in agreement, Commissioner Samuelin. And
I'm in full agreement. Thank you for
And this is Ricky. I agree too.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you, Ricky. I appreciate that. All right. Well, Mr. Francis, you have your instruction from the committee. So let's move forward with a pilot program, competitive. It may be that only one company will respond, but we're going to move forward with this, and that's what's coming out. We're going to move this out of the committee, and I assume we'll move that to the commission for on a consent item agenda. Rafael, do you have any questions about what we want to do?
No, that's right. It will go to the commission.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right, we're finished with that item. Let's take the next I'm going to skip number five for now because I know playgrounds is something that the chair is very interested in. And I want
I appreciate
him to
that. I will rejoin in 2 minutes, just taking care of Lex for my son.
Yeah, take your time, sir. Let's go to item number 10, an update on Byron Carlisle RFP negotiations. Who's going to lead this one from the city?
Amy.
Okay, Amy, thanks so much. Go ahead, Amy. The floor is yours.
Wonderful. So right leading up to our new normal with COVID, we were working on meeting with the two proposers and getting and evaluating with CBRE because we were engaging CBRE to help us with determining their proposals and evaluating them alongside us and procurement and our administration. And while we had our preference or we had our ideas prior to now focusing on COVID, now that we're coming out of everything and focusing on reopening, we'd like to take an opportunity to reevaluate both proposals and see if we want to take on an opportunity of starting anew or changing any one of those specific proposals, but we do need to take a moment to readapt to the new to our new environment because there are some new measures and new directions in place for either hotels or offices in either way that really need to be accounted for.
Okay, have we had recent input from the community? I know a lot's changed since November, and this item actually started before I was elected to the commission. So I haven't had as much history as I know some of my colleagues have had. But have we had any recent participation or conversation from the community about this?
No, and that would be the next step. Even with the two proposals before, we need to go back to the community and get their feedback because there was a lot of input. Through the North Beach Master Plan that led to these two types of proposals and what was incorporated with them. But it does require the community to also re-engage and reevaluate if either of these proposals or any proposal that is being deemed for Byron is appropriate for them.
And do you have an idea of when we could do that? Is that something that could be done in the foreseeable future in the next 4 weeks, or would it take 8 weeks, or what do you think?
I would give it at least a few months because we did want to, within the next few weeks, we were going to go back to those proposals and reevaluate the current conditions for those types of proposals and come back actually to this group to find out what our findings are and what our next steps should be. And I think at that point, after that, we then go out to the community to get some more feedback on either the new direction or on one of those proposals.
Okay. So just say that again, because it sounds like you want to do something before you go to the community. I missed that.
Correct.
Say that again.
So what I want to do is I want to evaluate these proposals again, given the new conditions, come mm-hmm. back to this committee with that finding of whether it's re-engaging with one of these proposals or going back to the drawing board and reevaluating what we want there. And then with either one of those directions, then go back to the commission, to the community with here's what our proposal is based off of either these two proposals, what we think is a good fit. Do you agree? Our commission also agrees on that this is also a good fit. Do you also agree? And what's your feedback there? Or this is our new direction, and what's your feedback on this new direction?
And you said too, I may not be as up to speed on this as others since I am newer to the commission, but I thought there was a winning bidder, no?
There was a favored bidder, but not a winning bidder.
So you're saying there's still two options on the table?
Correct.
We were directed to go back and reevaluate and negotiate for, I guess, a best and final kind of situation with both proposers.
Okay. And we have not done that yet.
We had started it just before all of this, but then it died down. And then so we've gone back out just to even see if both proposals were even still interested, and they both are. So now we just need to evaluate under our new conditions, do these proposals meet what we know we need to have in the area, given our new conditions? And if they do, then we need to decide which one we really need to finalize our best and final.
When you say our new conditions, you're talking about the
for instance, new hotels are having issues with financing right now. And so is an opportunity for a hotel going to have the best success at starting up again now with everything, with every our new conditions with COVID? Office spaces are being re-envisioned and now consultants are toggling whether office spaces or class A office spaces are the demand still there for them. So I think there's still lots being discussed in the professional realm over what the next step forward is for either offices or hotels. And we'd like to have that opportunity to evaluate both the proposals and what the conditions are and what professionals are saying would be the next best steps. And if neither one of those fit into what the next best steps are for that area, then we'd like to come back with what we think those next best steps are.
Okay. Well, I want to hear from my colleagues on this, but I'm not in favor of starting this process completely over, right? I mean, we have two bidders. You've already gone back to them. Both of them are still interested. And so I think that whatever work you need to do, we need to do with great dispatch. This should not be delayed. If they change their mind and they say under the new situation, it's just not going to work for us, that's one thing. But we've got two qualified bidders, and so we need to move on this. When do you think that you will be ready to come back? This is early June. Can we do this before the August break?
I think so. I think we could do that. I don't see a reason why not.
Okay, Commissioner Samuelin, did you have any comments on this?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You and I are certainly of the same minds here. First off, the good news is we do have interested parties. So that's a really positive sort of highlight. I strongly agree with my colleague's thoughts that we're not starting over, that we should listen to the community, and we definitely have to have a conversation before August recess. So I understand, Amy, the steps you're describing seems reasonable, but I think this should be on the July agenda for us to discuss. In addition to the community, it probably isn't a surprise that I thought the economic impact on the city was a priority before. It certainly is a priority, perhaps even greater at this point. And one thought that I'd like to have the administration reflect on and perhaps explore with the bidders, you know, and it relates to what I talked about diversification of our revenues and diversification in a tough budget environment. Some of the proposals to date have been one-time cash payments, and that may be okay. But is there an option that we could translate some of that into a recurring revenue stream? Could we get some sort of sharing agreement that could impact our annual budget? We're just getting ready for the budget season. We know we're in for challenges. And I wonder if there are options where we could be addressing recurring needs more directly through some of these relationships. And I'd like the administration to explore that with our bidders.
Absolutely. Which is why I think for one of those proposals, there was one that was more favored because it does provide for some more revenue to be provided to the city on a ongoing basis. I mean, a hotel is always going to be generating resort taxes for us versus office spaces that doesn't.
Yeah, and Amy, if I may, thank you for that. That's great. And I was actually talking about some of the things that often up front.
Of course, yeah, no.
Those could also be in a recurring format as well. So just wanted to make sure I was clear about that.
Of course, no.
Okay. Commissioner Areola, your hand is up. You want to speak on this item?
Yeah, I'm back. Thank you
Thank you. I see there's one hand up in public comment if you want to do that. But go ahead, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for filling in for me. This is an important item, you know, even more so with the current state of our economy, to the extent that we still have at least two able and ready developers who you know, want to move forward with the city. You know, I would urge us to take them up on their offer and to start those negotiations and to try to get a firm recommendation back from staff on what those might look like, and you know, not delay this any further, because you know, that property's not going anywhere. It's in bad shape, and so the longer we just leave it vacant, the more it'll deteriorate and further depress that local economy up there at a time in which all of us need to start revitalizing. So I would try to make sure that we don't overstudy this and to go back to those two proposers and potentially start negotiating and see where they're at with their ideas. There's a hand up. I don't know who that is. It's the only hand up, last four digits, 7795.
Hi, good morning. This is Matisse Cohen. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yep. Can we close the public hearing, please?
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. And thanks for bringing this issue on the agenda. We have been working on this project for over 3 years. We have gone through tremendous public discourse on this issue. And a rigorous RFP with very, very clear criteria, which was a very expensive and very tedious process. The last commission meeting on this item gave Jimmy, the city manager, instruction to negotiate with both parties. Both parties, and I speak equally for the person who's competing against me for this project, we've each had one meeting with the city at the time in which the city hired CBRE as their advisor, but no negotiations has taken place. And I would urge this commission not to send the message that we throw out 3 years of work and also don't respect our RFP process by restarting this process or starting to open this up to public engagement before a rigorous negotiation has occurred with the city administration regarding the projects that are being proposed there. We have a unique opportunity that two major landowners in the area were the only respondents to this RFP. And to think that today you're going to open it up again and get more is not only silly, it's irresponsible. And the only real thing that should be done is to instruct the administration to actually negotiate with us. And that's all I have to say.
And Chair, if you don't mind, if I could just speak to that.
Yep.
I very much appreciate Matisse's feedback, but I also don't want to mislead and go under the impression that somehow we don't think the RFP process is important or that we are dismissive of the RFP process and that we would engage the community prior to vigorously working with either proposer. The request of the pause was just so that we could come back to you all with the fair evaluated recommendation given going back to them and fully discussing with either proposal and really getting their feedback and their input and actively working with them for their where they land and also what our current conditions were. But I hear both everybody, the committee and both Matisse. So I appreciate the feedback, but I just wanted to be clear that there's zero desire to be dismissive of the RFP process.
Commissioner Richardson.
No, I just wanted to reiterate, I think the conversation we were having before you returned, Chair, is, and I think you heard it, is that we're not giving any direction to start this process over. We have two bidders that have submitted bids. Both have expressed that they are still interested. We're not opening this up to a third or fourth or other bidders. You are looking at both options as it relates to the changing environment. But we, I think, have been very clear that we want you to come back in July and we expect that you will continue discussions, also known as negotiations, with these bidders, right? So that we're not in the same place in July. So I think my colleagues are, and we're all in agreement that we want to get moving on this. We're not opening this up. We've got two bidders that have proposals on the table. We want to move forward with great dispatch. We expect to have some more specificity when you come back to us in July.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Chair, if I could address timing, I think certainly within the next 4 weeks, the administration could, you know, ask the proposers to update their term sheets, their timelines, as Amy mentioned. And we're seeing on other projects that the pandemic does affect financing, does affect construction periods, and we may want to first get the updated proposals. Certainly, we can meet with the proposers, but to fully negotiate a term sheet in 3 weeks. And engage in simultaneous negotiations while also negotiating other major projects that have very hard deadlines. If you want to get them on the ballot for November, that might be a fully baked term sheet. Maybe something that would require more time. So I just want to put that out there in terms of what we can do in 3 weeks.
Yeah, Rafael, just so that it's a I'm clear. You can't do that in 3 weeks. You can't do it. You can't come back with a term sheet in 3 weeks. But I think what I was suggesting, I think my colleagues were in agreement. We don't want to lose 3-4 more weeks. We want to get moving on this. We also don't want to leave any impression that we want to reopen this process. The longer that property sits in its current condition, is the worse it is for that community. Maybe I shouldn't use the word blight, but it's not pretty. Let's get moving. Even if you can't, you're not going to be able to negotiate a full term sheet, but let's get moving.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Richardson. I agree with that sentiment. I think staff, you're hearing, I think unanimity among the three of us that we're not interested in lots of delays and further studies. We want to, are the current bidders interested, able to do something? Can the staff come back with a recommendation? That's the answer we want. We don't want to reopen a competitive bid process that was years in the making. There's no reason for that. There's no appetite for that at this time. Okay, before I move on, I was hoping to conclude this. I see two hands up, Daniel Baisha, and I think Matisse, you have your hand up as well. You're first in queue, Matisse.
Hi, I just wanted to state regarding the process of negotiations, not to ask us to send a new term sheet. It is to actually engage with the bidders and to negotiate changes that they require that the city was looking to see. And we don't know that. We have to have frontal conversations with the city and city staff to be able to negotiate directly, as opposed to just say, hey, send us another offer. That is the process that we have to engage in. Thank you very much.
Daniel, your hand is up.
Thank you.
Daniel?
I'm unmuted now. Thank you. Just historical context. Thank you, Commissioner, and Richardson as well. This is the fourth RFP we've done for the Byron Carlisle since I've been active in this community. It is the first time we actually have actual respondents with a viable project. So I follow and support exactly what the commission has expressed here today. It is important that we take this opportunity to move forward and just keep on pushing to some form of outcome, regardless of who we select to keep the Byron Carlisle from being vacant. We did push out the theater, the O Cinema, in order for this to happen and to have the theater there vacant is adding to the negative impact to the community. So the sooner we can get this pushed forward, the better. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Daniel. Okay. Commissioner Richardson, is that your hand up or that leftover? You're on mute, Commissioner Richardson. No, you're good.
That was leftover. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, great. A few remaining items. I think they'll go quickly. Let me save the ones that I think will go quickly for one that might take a little longer. Item number 11, which is review the possibility of appropriating and authorizing up to $700,000 from the City General Reserve Fund for rent. We took this up, I think we did, at our full commission meeting a couple of hours ago. What do we want to do with this? Commissioner Richardson, I see that you're the sponsor.
Yeah, I brought this item a couple of weeks ago and referred it to the budget so we could have like a conversation. So, you know, we had two tranches of housing assistance from federal dollars, and it's not adequate. When we first began our conversations on the budget reaction, if you will, to the COVID-19 and the crisis, I think our CFO told us that we were at about $8.6 million in terms of use of funds. And I know I was very interested in getting that down to $5 million as an aspirational goal. And we have now gotten that down to, I think, 5.1 as of a couple of weeks ago. But about half of that money is potentially going to be recovered in other places. So I feel like we have some cushion here. We could spend a little bit more money on housing and still stay within that $5 million of use of funds through September 30th. So what I wanted to do is bring the item here, propose that we use an amount up to $700,000 for additional rent support. And this would come out of our city funds. But again, I think we have the cushion to do that, given that my goal was 5 million and we're at about 2.5, and this would still keep us under, I guess, around 3 million if we were to use this money. So also, I think what we learned today is that there's a possibility that this money could be recovered under the county program. So it could be that we wouldn't even be funding it. We'd just be funding the cash flow. So, that's my proposal, and I would love to hear from, I mean, we got some numbers from Maria Ruiz today. There's huge support. 474 people have applied. We know we're not going to have enough money for all of those people. So that's my proposal. I'd like to be able to get this money authorized by this committee, and then we'll have to take it back to the commission. So that's my proposal.
Commissioner Samuelin, you have your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is really a critical issue for the community. So many people have been challenged during this time. So I'm glad we're having this conversation. I have a couple questions. The first is the one that my colleague just sort of teed up. Do we know, or are we not clear yet on whether this is reimbursable in some form, or would it be city funds?
So we know now. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. I was actually directing it at the administration. If you have the answer, great. Yeah. But I was sort of following. I should have been clear. My question is really the administration. Do they have that information at this point?
John, you may want to answer the question.
I don't believe that we have that in a certainty at this point. We're still looking into it.
Okay, thank you for that. And then the second thing I just want to sort of clarify, I understand the number 700,000, that's sort of clear as day. There's a comment in the conclusion about may need up to 3 months, so I wasn't really clear if we felt like this was 700. It obviously isn't meeting everyone's need, but does it meet enough people's need for enough time, or was there something else that still needed to be done? That wasn't just clear to me from the memo. So that's directed at the administration.
Let me see if I can, this is Maria Ruiz. Let me see if I can try to make an answer to that. Interestingly enough, we're beginning to see now people who are coming in for their rent assistance appointments who are already being called back to work. So the good news is that if this is reflective of what's going to be happening over the next couple of weeks or so, the good news is that perhaps the demand for the rent assistance will have a bookend to it. For most people, my bigger concern are for those individuals who are working in the hotels because they're not being called back. In fact, a significant number of the people that have come in are either working at restaurants or hotels, and they have not been called back, those that work in those industries. So my concern would be that that industry is the one that we're going to potentially have not an immediate bookend. That could be way down the road. I did run some numbers after this morning's meeting. The average rent assistance as of today is $2,158 per household. So that definitely shows that we're paying a closer to 2 months rent for people at this juncture.
And go ahead.
I'm here.
Commissioner Samuel, I didn't want to interrupt you.
But no.
On that one item.
Please do.
Maria, remind us how much money we had in the first and second tranche. Was it about $500,000 and $200,000?
Yeah, $200,000 from the first tranche isn't going to be available till after October 1st. So we had $330,000 first time around, and an additional $336,000 in the second tranche.
Okay.
If I could just sort of wrap up my comments, then if that answered your point.
Thank you.
Is this 700 then, do we think that in terms of tranches, this is the final tranche? Do we anticipate a future need, or would this be the administration's recommendation we proceed with this and that would be the amount that we need at this point?
Well, I'll comment on that. Obviously, we've had 300,000 the first tranche, just over 300,000 second tranche. We have the 200,000 that kicks in October 1st. Mm-hmm. So this 700,000, in my mind, would probably be the last, at least through the end of the year, because I don't foresee that that there's going to be an increase beyond this. You might level, mm-hmm. and I don't see it increasing. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Yeah, it does. I just wanted to understand the magnitude of what we were dealing with. And I know it's an uncertain environment. Right. Short answer mm-hmm. is that I am supportive of this. This is a critical need. You know, you think about people's basic needs, food and housing. We have a lot of folks tied to these industries. They did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong at all. No one could have predicted this. And so we've invested a fair amount. We know that the 700 is not going to meet every single person's need for everything, but I think it's an important step forward. I also did receive word that our homeless committee also supported efforts to do whatever we could to prevent widespread homelessness, and we're dealing with that concern. So I am going to support the item today.
Can I, Chair, can I jump in on this?
Yeah, please.
Thank you. So, Commissioner Samuel, thank you so much for the support. I'm gonna offer to tweak a little bit what we're doing, just because we've got some additional information now. We learned this morning there are 474 people. Maria just told us there were 2158. Is the average expenditure. That's about just slightly over $1 million. We've gotten 330 plus 336 plus another 200 is going to be available. We know that some people got served in the first tranche. So what I would like to do is, because my initial proposal was up to 700,000. So what I would like to do is suggest that today we recommend a third tranche You know, the others were about $330,000. So offer a third tranche of $330,000 of this $700, and then let's wait and see if we're going to need more money in a fourth tranche, rather than making a recommendation with the entire amount right now. So that would be my recommendation, is that of this $700,000, we go ahead and recommend $330,000 in a new third tranche. We don't know, you know, when I proposed this, I said we may have to pay this out of our reserves. There may be an opportunity for us to recover it through the county program, through the CARES program. That will be our hope and our proposal. But if there's appetite, let's split this into different tranches and go ahead and authorize 330 today, and we can hold the rest for further consideration. What do you think about that?
Who is that question proposed? Is it
Commissioner Samuel? Well, for both of you, if you want to split this up, or if you want to do the full 700 today.
Commissioner Samuel, you have your hand up?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I am certainly open to that suggestion of it sounds like we would be, you know, sort of holding some back. My only question really would be back to the city administration. Is there any concern or issue that we should be aware of breaking it into that tranche with 330 now and then subsequently a future amount? Any concern that we should be aware of?
Actually, I think that's a really sensible way to go approach it, because we really don't know what that exposure is going to be. The only thing that I would ask is that in this third tranche, that the funds be made available to people who are residents of the city, but don't necessarily have to have U.S. citizenship or residency, because that is by far the vast number of people that we've had to turn away is for that qualifier. So by virtue of eliminating that requirement, we can absorb those people. I just don't know, again, depending on this, on whether the reimbursement, if the reimbursement would allow that qualifier, since we're a city administering the monies. But that is where the greatest need is.
Okay. Yeah, I see your hand up, Commissioner Richardson.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. So, Maria, I would fully support that, and I would actually go a little bit further, and I would say this money should only be restricted as it relates to the CARES program. One thing that we've learned is the CARES has a lot more flexibility than the program that we use for the first two tranches, and so I do not want us to have more restrictive guidelines than is required under CARES. So if you are allowed to be more flexible under CARES, I want you to use that flexibility to make as many people eligible as possible.
Okay.
And I think my colleagues are in agreement with that.
I'm supportive.
I am as well, because there are, as Maria pointed out, I think a lot of folks in our community that, you know, aren't able to take advantage of some of these federal government programs, but nevertheless, they're members of our community. So I would not want to be more restrictive.
Now, let me ask a question of the lawyer, Chair, if I could.
Yep,
so please. Can we, if we move this 330 recommendation today, can we keep this item in our committee and have the balance up to $700,000 available for consideration without a new item going back to the commission? So, or do we have, in order to get the rest of the $700,000, would I have to put the item back on the commission and have it sent back? Or can we issue a recommendation today for the 330 with a recommendation for us to leave the balance up to $700,000 in committee for consideration at a future date?
Commissioner, based on the way the referral was written, I think that you could do that and proceed with this tranche for the 330 and continue to discuss the balance.
That would be my recommendation.
Okay, great. There's one hand from the public up, and that's Valerie Navarette. Valerie, the floor is yours.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Chair, for letting me speak. And thank you, everybody, for all the hard work that you guys are doing. I have a quick question. With this new information that, that we will be more flexible than CARE in this distribution of this money, the two out of the five people that was mentioned before in the previous meeting, will they be also be able to be helped, or they would be also subjected to homelessness if they don't get this assistance? Thank you.
Maria, I think that's a question for you.
Under the CARES Act funds that were awarded through HUD, we could not serve people that did not meet the residency requirement if the city was the distributor of the funds. I'd have to read the legislation on the broader fund, because I guess it would depend on which department is releasing the funds, in order to better understand that. But under the HUD guidelines, we were not allowed to do so.
Okay. All right. Does that conclude this item?
I think it does. Rafael, do you have what you need from us?
Just by acclamation, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got three park items coming up, and I think we can go through rather quickly. But let's do item number 9, a non-park item. Commissioner Samuelin, this is yours. Discuss implementing the Production Industry Council's December 12th, 2019 motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the Production Industry Council passed this motion several months ago, and I thought it was pretty important. I frankly think, and I sense my colleagues think, that this may even be more important now because of the importance of our economic development, given the challenge that we have. So really, the essence of this is that we want to make sure that Miami Beach is recognized for our wonderful arts events. Art Basel is a critical element of it, but it is not exclusive to that. And that we want to make sure that we continue to promote a brand. I believe the brand we've been utilizing is Miami Beach Art Week. And so I want to make sure that we're going to keep doing what we're doing in terms of some level of promotion. And that also, it looks like we may be exploring a URL, which I think is a good idea. So directionally, I'm supportive with the administration. I don't know if someone from the administration wants to add or give a little color to what I teed up.
Good afternoon, commissioners. This is Heather Shaw, Assistant Director, Tourism and Culture. I'm you're spot on, Commissioner. The other item to this is that the committee wanted to recommend that we trademark Miami Beach Art Week going forward. I've also, in collaboration with communications, we have been, you know, utilizing that. And as the commissioner said, the committee is concerned that, you know, going forward, that it's not just Art Week isn't just for Miami, but Miami Beach has that. And it's, and as you mentioned, it's even more important now as we're going forward and wanting to expand on our cultural assets and what we're going to do during that week. There's some costs that are involved. Some of them are nominal, and we can discuss more about, you know, the different costs. The committee came back with different costs for different trademarks. Tanya Daniels may have some more input on those costs and the importance of those costs, but just for a trademark, I think it's around like $2,000.
So it seems like that aspect is, you know, in the scheme of things, always important, but relatively nominal. And then, Heather, thank you for the update. Just question, you know, we have been doing some marketing around this. We're in a tight budget environment. I just want to highlight, and obviously I welcome my colleagues' thoughts too, that, you know, we need to keep promoting this and that we need to make sure that there's at least a level of funding because it is an important asset.
Commissioner Samuelin, is that a question for us or that just a comment?
That's a comment. That's okay. A comment. And now, of course, welcome to hear from you.
No, I'm supportive of this. I mean, we touched on the need to diversify our local economy. I think, you know, these sort of efforts help to do that. I agree that, you know, whenever we're trying to do something like this, constant promotion is very important to, you know, be top of mind for folks who are thinking about, you know, possibly coming to our community to work. All right. Anybody else? No public hands. Commissioner Richardson, Commissioner Samuel.
I'm fully supportive. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. We'll move forward. Okay.
So is the direction that we can go forward with trying to get a trademark and continue to utilize this in a more permanent, substantive manner, correct?
I mean, the dollar amount you're talking about sounds so minuscule. Yes.
Right. Yes. Let's move forward giving the trademark. Yes.
Absolutely, as Heather stated. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask that we look into the details on that? Because it's going to be, I believe, more than just a couple thousand, because you have to trademark certain areas, and there's a lot more steps to it. Plus, we also have to utilize our trademarking attorney, and the funds that we typically use for that would be from resort tax for marketing. And right now, all of that is frozen. So, you know, as we look into the next fiscal, I would kind of like to look at, you know, what the actual cost will be, because I think a couple thousand is a little bit low.
Okay. Yep. We can definitely do that. All right, colleagues, I'm mindful of just the time. The next three items all have to do with parks. Two of them are mine. One is Commissioner Gongora's, although I share in Commissioner Gongora's interest on the item. Let's do six. I think that'll be the quicker one. Discussion regarding expansion of equipment and lighting at Muscle Beach. I'm not sure who's doing this. John Rebar, are you with us? Is this your item, John? Or whoever's going to present?
Hello, Commissioner. Jose Del Risco is going to be presenting on this.
Okay. Hey, Jose.
You want Jose in?
I see him there.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me? Hi, Commissioner. Good seeing you. Good talking to the rest of you. This is a very good item in the sense that, you know, as you know, we've had now, you know, two iterations of Muscle Beach, right? So we had the first iteration of improvements there, which have been absolutely magnanimous and very well received by the public. So we put in the leopard tree, we put in My Beast, et cetera. Then, you know, at the request of the community, particularly Muscle Beach, South Beach, we incorporated additional elements that were more toward, you know, weight training, et cetera. And that's when we added the Beaver Fit Performance locker. Very, very well received. We're actually in the process right now of adding a second performance locker. Where we are with that is we had a couple of delays related to COVID, but we're on track to finish by the end of summer. We have already engaged the vendor. We have a commitment. We're waiting on a PO to be finalized, hopefully by either Monday or Tuesday of next week. And so we're good to go on the planning process, et cetera. So as it pertains to additional equipment, we're addressing that. Commissioner Arriola, you know, at his direction, you know, initiated that project. So, you know, when it comes to lighting, lighting east of the Coral Wall at Loomis is very improbable to receive approval from the state. We right now are in dialogue between us, Public Works, Environment and Sustainability, with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, in addition to the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service, regarding lighting at Loomis Park. I work very closely with David Gua and the group there at Muscle Beach, South Beach. And so what we've done in the past is we've addressed lighting through temporary measures. Those measures, you know, the feedback we've received are sufficient and appropriate. Once turtle season is over, then we'll be able to resume those temporary measures.
Jose, thank you for that briefing. Colleagues?
No, I would just say in terms of lighting, does the equipment, do people normally start dispersing at dusk? or do people want to use that equipment into the night?
They use it later into the night. Usually not many individuals, but it does cater to those who do love to come out, enjoy the space, but they do work later, et cetera, particularly in the summer months. In the winter months, it's particularly helpful, because, you know, sunset sometimes is 5:30, et cetera. So temporary measures we use during that period have been effective. And as I mentioned, I worked very closely with David Waugh, and he's very supportive, and he's okay with what we do there. Obviously, that is within the confines of what's allowed.
I don't have anything else, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, great. Yeah, the only comment I have on this is, it has become a really important part of our community. Lots and lots of residents go there and, you know, hang out and work out, and it's also become very popular with tourists, both those that want to go work out and those who just want to watch people working out. It's become a very popular spot for Instagram moments and getting free publicity for our city. And as we think about expansion, I think we can expect more good things to come from our efforts there. Lighting with turtles and whatnot are a tricky issue and out of our hands. That brings me to item number 5, which may solve some of the objectives we're trying to do with Muscle Beach, which is the item number 5 wasn't necessarily my idea. It was an idea from some other folks that approached me about, you know, how do we activate Loomis Park to, A, bring back residents, but also to make it more, to make it safer for folks. And then also just to beautify the park even further. And the thought was, you know, it's such a big park, and we've got some playground equipment there that is utilized, and some that some equipment, some fitness equipment that is not utilized, particularly down on the 6th Street area. And might we think about putting, you know, some additional playground equipment there to bring families and to have something for our children, both residents and tourists. And by bringing more folks to the park, create a safer environment for people, because the more people that you bring into a location, you know, you sort of push out sometimes riffraff that like to hang out, particularly in Loomis Park. And so doing things through design to make our park safer, more usable. So this potentially accomplishes multiple things. We do have money in the geo bond for Loomis Park specifically. I think we have $5 million. So, and I talked to the chief about this, and he thought it was a good idea. So I wanted to bring it to finance to think about, you know, do we want to appropriate some money to start looking at design ideas for Loomis Park? Playgrounds is an idea. It's certainly not the only idea. So I wanted to bring it up. Commissioner Samuelson, you have your hand up first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you answered one of the questions I was going to ask about funding. And I do recall that we had the geo bond funding. So that's good to hear. I am certainly open to this idea and any other ideas to activate Loomis Park. I think, having more people there, a little more vibrant community, if there's a need for children as well, then I'm absolutely open to take the next step that we do need to on this.
Chair, Ariel, are you there?
Yeah, I had to walk away again. My son is trying to eat, but go ahead. Commissioner Richardson.
Okay. Yeah, thanks so much. I'm in agreement with my colleagues here. I think that the more we can do to activate that park, the better it will be. I know we've got the funding source is the geo bond. And so I think we should explore that. I don't think that we should just be limited to playgrounds, because there are other things that we could do, but I'd like to hear a full range of ideas on what we can do to activate that park, including having a really nice playground, because that would capture the hearts of families as they're coming and going to the beach. They may want to stop off and let their kids play in that, but let's look at playgrounds definitely, and any other opportunities where we can activate that park. Thank you. Yeah,
great. How do you guys want to do this? Do you want to maybe direct staff to engage with the ODA, asking for some firm recommendations, simultaneously asking our Parks and Recs Committee for some recommendations, and to bring something to us sort of in the next 90 days to look at? And, you know, absent them coming up with any ideas and then just sort of studying this to death, we'll do it for them. But let's get moving. We have money. We have a need. We've got an amazing opportunity now with everything that's going on to reimagine Ocean Drive. So, you know, we could. Yeah, go ahead.
Is that $5 million that is that already in the tranche where we have the money that we're ready to spend, or is that in a future tranche? Do we know?
Yes, Commissioner, this is Jose Del Risco with Parks. So it's $4.7 million that is currently in Tranche 1 funding. Where we are right now, we are in the process of evaluating the responses to the RFQ for design and architectural services for this particular project. So the committee, we have a tentative date of July 1st for the review. And what we did is we included additional play spaces, including playgrounds, et cetera, but not limited to those ideas, maybe splash pads, other potential ideas, and welcome families into the park, which is certainly our goal. We've included that in that RFQ to make sure that whoever bids on it, you know, or responds rather, is inclusive of that train of thought and consideration.
So the RFP is July 1st, and then you're going to, that's the deadline, and then you'll award a contract after that. Is that right?
We received the responses June 10th. July 1st is the date that we're tentatively scheduled for the selection committee to review those responses and qualify them.
Okay. And so, and did we ask all participants to give us ideas regarding activation, including playgrounds?
We added playgrounds, additional playgrounds and kid zones, social spaces, even the replacement of the existing playground as part of the concepts that we're asking for and the ideas that we want for the park.
Okay. Jose,
Mr. Chair, if I may.
I'm sorry. Yeah, but just real quick, Jose, I don't know that I heard you. I don't know if you said it. How many responses did we get?
I don't have the number of responders. Procurement is actually reviewing the qualifications now, but I can certainly get back to you with that information.
Yeah, maybe the market did the work for us. That's great.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, if I may jump in, you know, your comments are very timely in that you're asking to get started, get community input, and that's exactly what the master plan process is going to be. So exactly what you're asking for has been put in this scope where we're reviewing the qualifications. And we're going to have a full-blown official effort on this very, very soon.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just clarify, just so everyone's crystal clear, is that the GEO bond money did not include this part of the scope at all. So whatever we come up with is going to have to be funded from a separate funding source, more than likely quality of life funds, and one of the next upcoming capital budget cycles. So. I don't want anyone to leave the meeting with the impression that GEO bond money is going to build playgrounds, because that was not the scope of what was included in the GEO bond.
Okay, well,
expand on that? Can you expand on that, John? I mean, what was the money? How is it restricted?
I think Parks can speak to it a little more clearly than I could.
Certainly. So the scope, as was devised during the GEO bond process, was to go toward Commissioner Arroyo's point, to revitalize the park, you know, particularly landscape. Landscape is a major component at the park, and some of the landscape features there, including some of the underground infrastructure, irrigation, electrical, et cetera, is more than 30 years old. And also poses limitations for certain activations that take place in the park, use of the park, even public safety constraints. So that is a major component. Some of the other components are improvements to walkways, adding more decorative, higher end finishes, similar to some of those that we find at South Point Park. For example, some of the finishes in the walkways, including some salt rock finishes or some crushed shell finishes, et cetera. Restrooms are also a critical component there. They're critical also for, obviously, not just residents that enjoy the beach, but also Ocean Drive patrons and tourists, et cetera. So those directional findage, wayfinding signage, et cetera, were also some of those considerations that were included in the original scope as essential infrastructure. What we did was, having received this feedback for additional place, spaces, et cetera, we went ahead and made sure to include that in the RFQ so that if the funding comes down, if that's the will of the commission, we don't have to start that process or realign things. It's already ready to go.
So if I understand, if I could, Mr. Chair, I'll just ask that question.
Yeah.
We amended the RFP to include playgrounds, but the geobond money cannot be used for that purpose. Is that what we're saying? We'd have to find additional funding. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. So certainly we would have to work with John Woodruff and legal as to the parameters of what can or cannot be funded and how much room for or wiggle room, I should say, there is within the funding. But in the original breakdown, estimate wise, for the $4.7 million, these additional play spaces were not included.
It was primarily infrastructure.
Yes.
Okay. I'm disappointing to learn that. And I see your hand up, Commissioner Samlin. And, John, do we have a legal opinion on this? Because, I was very intimately involved in this process. And, I thought we left it fairly open-ended with respect to, what we would use the money for reprogramming, reimagining Loomis Park, same with Ocean Drive. And I don't know why we would limit ourselves because, playground equipment, I get if it just swings and slides, but if it's a part of an overall revamping of the of the park, just like the next item that's going to come up. I mean, we have a skate park specifically, which is it's essentially a playground that was included in the geobond. Why would we limit ourselves to not having a similar, whether it's a sculpture park or some sort of, big water theme splash pad for kids? Why couldn't we do that under the terms of the geobond?
And Mr. Chair, I could address that. I just pulled up the resolution approving the ballot question, and it did include for the parks question improving playgrounds. I think the issue may be whether playgrounds was within the scope of the particular projects that you're proposing the $5 million or whatever particular project you're proposing the use of the funds for playgrounds are for. So, but you can generally use geo bond funds for playgrounds. That was part of what the voters approved.
Okay.
And I have the what was in the language of the voter's guide in front of me, and just for the benefit of the group here. So it included landscaping, sod, irrigation, restrooms, upgrade of pathways, new wayfinding signage, and tree planting. So at least that was the existing scope, if you will. That scope can be changed. Mm-hmm. If you heard what Raphael had to say, is that's the legal definition of what we can do. We have the latitude. It's just going to have to be something that we would want to, the commission could change what that original scope was. We just want to do that in a very transparent way, probably work through the Geobond Oversight Committee as well, once we know what we kind of want to do. So there's a way to get there. I just want to just be clear of, what the original expectation or commitment was versus what we're talking about now.
Okay. But, Collins, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that because I would definitely be inclined to do that just to increase our capabilities or, our flexibility. There's no harm in at least doing that. We can go back and reprioritize the dollars if we choose to spend it somewhere else, but why limit ourselves? It's easy enough to clear.
Yeah, I would just ask Go ahead, Commissioner Samuel.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner Richards. No, I, Mr. Chair, I'm supportive of what you just said, and I think we want to move forward. What I think I'm hearing from our team is that this is a potential scope increase, that they had a plan that was going to do some other goodness, and now we have another idea. So the question in front of us is, should we consider other good ideas like a playground? I think we've got a strong consensus. The answer is yes. And if that puts us above $5 million, then we probably have to make a financial decision as to, is it something we want? And if so, how to fund it? So I think coming out of committee today, we're supportive.
Just real quick, I would add that if we're talking about, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars, something, you know, lower than $1 million that we would add to that $5 million, I think that's doable over the next year or two from quality of life funds.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, I was already thinking that. And the other thing, you know, John, we've got, what, $20 million in Ocean Drive, and I'm not sure how that was drafted, but ostensibly, I would argue that as an overall replanning and re-envisioning Ocean Drive, some, you know, whether it's, you know, a sculpture park that's going to go in Loomis Park. We're talking about playgrounds here, and I prefaced my comment by saying it doesn't have to be a playground. It's one of the uses that we could do to repurpose, reimagine Loomis Park. But there's $20 million in Ocean Drive. And so I hope that we've got enough flexibility there that we look at it comprehensively, Ocean Drive, Loomis Park, that you might be able to move some money around.
Yes, just a quick note. Ocean Drive has no money in the first tranche, and it has $4 million of the $20 anticipated for tranche two. Obviously, when we get closer to tranche two, we can look at potentially, you know, shifting how that's funded around. But it looks like it's a couple of years away before we could get any of the Ocean Drive money. And maybe we can, these things could go in parallel fashion where we could also supplement some funds and kind of make this happen in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about tranche two in a second when we talk about the skate park. So, but yeah, that'll be a good conversation. Colleagues, Commissioner Richardson, you have your hand up, and then there's a few folks from the public who have.
Yeah, no, I think Commissioner Samuel and probably said it already, and that it sounds like this initial plan for the $4.7 million was for some other goodness, and they may feel like they need all that money for infrastructure. And so in which case we'll have to go find a little bit more money elsewhere. But I think we're all in agreement that we want to do all the goodness.
Great. Thanks. Let me go over to the public. I see Mitch Novak, you're first, and then Alex Fernandez, you're second.
Mute myself. Hi, folks. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to remind everybody that we had a shooting on Ocean Drive in 6th Street days before. There's an unsolved murder down on Ocean Drive and 3rd Street or Ocean Court. And I want to say, I listened to your discussion earlier. My neighborhood is a deteriorating crap hole. Last night till 5 in the morning, there's people screaming right outside my window. I can send you pictures. 20, 30 people just carrying on. You know, public safety is critical.
And okay. I'm going to go work over there. I need to go work. Okay? Bye.
Am I back on? Was I cut off? Hello? Hello? Am I on? You hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
Yep, we hear you.
Sounded like Maria somehow interjected. So, you know, I hear $4.7 million or whatever it is, and you guys have just thrown, you know, tens of millions of dollars in recent years into Ocean Drive. There were two mayor's panels, you know, you kowtow to the dysfunctional Ocean Drive Association. And all I see is the neighborhood becoming further blighted, and nothing has worked. And I've been saying for 6 years, very publicly, you need to address the incompatible and problematic MXC open air entertainment zoning, which lures in riffraff that creates this circus on the streets. It's total mayhem. And the picture that you guys paint, everything is fine, is just, it's absurd. And I hope that sometime soon today, you start talking about the incompatible zoning. I know, and you guys have wasted millions of dollars. You had the city manager's LTC, which came out last month. No conversation about that. You know, the $25 million loss is now down to a $6 million loss that taxpayers are subsidizing an operational cost to service this area. This area is a complete, embarrassment globally. And you guys act as if everything is honky-dory, and it's not. That's all I have to say. If there's any questions, I'm here now. I have to go to a meeting shortly. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mitch. Alex Fernandez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, thank you, Commissioner Arriola, and to the members of the committee. When we're talking about reimagining Loomis Park, about reinventing Loomis Park, I can't think of a better investment of the use of taxpayers' GOB dollars than talking about wholesome, healthy activity that will attract families and that will attract positive activity back to Loomis Park. And let's be clear, Loomis Park is not Ocean Drive. This is not for the businesses. This is not for the MXC. This is not for the nightlife. This is for the residents of the city of Miami Beach, the taxpayers who are paying through the GO bond to have beautiful parks, clean parks, active parks. And this is what we need. We need positive activation in those parks. And so, Commissioner Arriola, I remember back in January when we started the conversation about children's parks in Loomis Park, and then you sponsored it in February 12th. And the Police Citizens Relations Committee adopted a motion supporting you in your very good initiative, and very happy to stand with you and the committee once again today in supporting this very positive initiative to clean up. Let's reactivate with positive activity, positive activation, Loomis Park. So thank you for this, and please help us continue identifying these important funds so that this could be carried through at Loomis Park. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the comments. Colleagues, anything else or want to conclude this? Okay. So John and Jose, you've got direction. I think what you're going to do is come back to us at our next finance meeting with the bids that came in and do a presentation.
If that is what you like, we could come back with a report on the bids.
Yeah, if you think you'll be ready by then.
The selection will go to commission.
I'm fine with it going to commission. Teammates, Mark and David, you wanted to go straight to the commission? I'm fine with that.
So I'm okay with that, but I do think that we should address this issue of the infrastructure needs. So if the administration believes that there are infrastructure needs that will take up most of this money, then we're going to need to address where we can find some additional funding to get some of these other important issues regarding activation funded. So I would be interested in having after the administration has reviewed the responses, I would be interested in finding out what they think the needs are for infrastructure and how much if we don't need the full $4.7 million for that, then how much money would be left over? And if they are going to use all the money, how much money do we want to try to go find in other places to do this activation stuff?
Okay.
Richardson, what's out for RFQ now is to actually start that process, is to hire a design team to go through community charrettes, the needs, the wants, and then do do cost estimates. The GOB was based on staff cost estimates. Now we're entering into the official master planning stage. So some of the information you want, it's a little premature to bring it to you soon, but it's part of this RFQ for design services.
Well, let me ask this question. In your preliminary estimates, have you already identified at least $4.7 million of infrastructure needs for Loomis Park?
Yes, we did. We went through, you know, we used historical costs for, we need to rerun the whole irrigation system. We suggested doing new walkways and everything that Jose had mentioned. And when you worked in design and you worked in contingency, that's how we got to that dollar figure, sir.
Okay, so we know, and I don't want to ignore the infrastructure needs. So if we know we're going to need all of that for infrastructure, then I think we need to start thinking about other sources of funding where we can do this other work that is as important regarding activation. So I don't know, Mr. Chair, maybe what we need to do is have the administration come back to us next month with some ideas on how much money we think we need for additional for activation activities and where we might start looking for that money, whether that is out of I assume every year we give parks a budget for park improvements. Maybe we put this as part of that part of it, or maybe we look for other funds somewhere else.
Okay. And I see, yeah. Commissioner Samuelin, you have your hand up. Before I call on you, a couple things just to, because I do want to conclude this. Let's keep it in committee and bring it back. I think Commissioner Richardson's idea is very good about, you know, if you can, whether it's the next meeting or some subsequent meeting, just a good analysis of what we think infrastructure is going to cost. We may not have money to do playgrounds or, you know, other things like that, but we could get it from quality of life funds like John talked about. I just got a text from Maria saying that we got 15 bids for this, which is really exciting. I look forward to seeing that. With 15 bids, I'm not sure staff will have enough time between now and our next finance meeting. If they do, great. If not, then the one after that to let us know. I think, you know, we're talking $1 million, $2 million to do these projects that bidders have replied on to, or are we, you know, talking millions of dollars? Just to start getting a ballpark of what it's going to cost to redo Loomis Park. I think that would be helpful. Commissioner Samuelin, you have your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to summarize, because I think as a body, we're in sort of vehement agreement, which is a good thing. I agree with you, Mr. Chair, that the recommendation of the provider could go directly to the commission. I don't see that necessarily coming back. And I agree with you and Commissioner Richardson. As soon as the administration can prepare some information for us that is, you know, worthy of discussion, we should do that. Sounds like they're just going to be kicking off with this provider. So I'm sensing it's not July, but as soon as it's ready, we should have that conversation.
Okay, staff, you guys okay? I think what we're asking for, one is work through all of the responses that you got. You may need more time than the next finance meeting. If that's the case, then fine, roll it to the subsequent one. If you're ready, bring it. And then in parallel track, sort of separate item that Commissioner Richardson discussed, give us a good estimate of what infrastructure costs are going to be to invest into Loomis Park. I do want to mention, for those of us who may have not have been out there during the shutdown, I've been out there a couple times. We have been doing a lot of work out there. I'll call it infrastructure, but in Loomis Park, but really has to do with security and installing, I think, some high definition equipment, or at least the cabling for high definition equipment. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, sir. That's a police GOB project.
Yep. So there is work being done in Loomis Park. I called infrastructure security, which was part of the vision for Loomis Park. So we've been already investing those dollars in Loomis Park. Okay, final item is item number 7, my item to sort of related to this theme of what we're doing in Luminous Park. Up in West Lot, up in the West Lots in North Beach, as we know, we've got a skate park, a small, very nice, frequently used skate park. We've got money in the geo bond for a further enhancement of the skate park, but I noticed that it's slated for, I forget which tranche three or four, which is a 2025 tranche. The amount of money we have set aside is about $750,000. And what I wanted to talk to all of us about is, why are we going to wait so long to fund something that's shovel ready? It's only going to be more expensive 5 years out. We're going to deprive our children for 5 years of, you know, finalizing a job that, you know, is fairly easy to do. And so what I asked staff to do is, what would it cost to start a study or just do an analysis for the design work for that skate park, fund it now, and then we can decide whether we want to move the money from tranche, I don't know if it's three or four, into the second tranche, which is sooner. John, is this you?
Commissioner Jose here. Jose. Yes, everything you said is absolutely accurate. It's currently in tranche three, $750,000. You know, what we have given in the memo we submitted is what we believe more or less the design costs are going to be. And part of the reason why design costs are what they are is because a separate conversation that we're having also at the neighborhoods committee is also additional resiliency elements being incorporated into the design of the project, which is somewhat of a cost driver. You know, from the Parks Department standpoint, we welcome this. You know, we are certainly up for it. We're excited about this project. You know, the skate park has been very well received and very well used in North Beach. And it's actually been a very positive contribution, in our opinion, in that area. So, you know, provided that the funding, you know, is allocated, and we'll certainly, you know, do our part and get the work going.
Colleagues, so my Jose, just so that I'm clear, we're clear, the funding for the design work, that's coming out of geo bond money, or that's coming out of another budget?
Well, it's all included in the budget. So 750 is inclusive of design when that 750 was devised.
Right. So the $99,000 in design costs would come out of that. But since that money is in the tranche three, we can't spend that, right?
Yes. And I don't want to speak for John Woodruff, but I believe we cannot do that now.
So my concern, colleagues, is that, you know, we're waiting 5 years to get that money, and then we would start this project, which would, you know, put it out another possibly 1 to 2 years beyond that. So, you know, we're 6 or 7 years away from finalizing the skate park. I think most of us won't even be in office then. Doing a skate park is a fairly easy endeavor. There's literally like off-the-shelf designs that you can literally get done in a matter of a few months. The design work is probably longer than actually the construction. And if we're going to wait 5 years, what I'm asking for would be a recommendation to move the money into tranche two so we can get it done sooner. And then, John, this is where I need your help. Could we pre-fund the design costs now to, you know, for the next year or so to do the design work and then reimburse ourselves when tranche two is funded?
Yes, we can do that. We would just have to identify, you know, whatever the amount of money that's needed sooner. Right now, I don't have an obvious funding source, but that's something that we could research further.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be. Yeah, I wonder whether it's the full 99,000 or whether we can do it two phases. Yes, some for this coming budget, and then one a subsequent budget. But you can come back to us on that, Commissioner Sandlin. You have your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to make sure I'm clear that what we're talking about is that we have $750,000 set aside, and you would like to fast track
design. I think I heard that. And so find a way to do that up front. So I think that's what I heard. Second, implicit in that, are you also trying to fast track the construction, or you just want the design so that we're ready when we get to this next tranche?
I wouldn't phrase it exactly like that. So yeah. Basically, you know, so I don't know how much you know about skate parks. They're, yeah. They're very easy to build. There's literally like a bunch of different designs out there that you can take them off the shelf and a firm can come in and build it very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. We and residents want to finish the skate park, but we decided that it's going to be in tranche three, which is 2025. At which time this design process that we're talking about now would begin. So meaning potential construction would be 2026, 2027. That's so far out. I'd like to make a recommendation that we consider moving the skate park money into tranche two. If we do that, we could start the design work now. It takes about a year, you know, you're gonna get community input, requests for bids, all of that. That's a year long. We would repay ourselves when tranche two is funded. So, you know, the question is, do we want to do this? And if we do, then John would identify a funding mechanism for the next year's budget so that we can go to market, get an RFP, get some design work proposals, pay for it. And then once tranche two is available in a couple of years, we would be ready to go. We could have a skate park in about 3 years.
Yeah.
As opposed to seven.
Thank you for that amplification. No, I think I'm tracking with you. It's not an incremental ask. It's really a timing question. And so I just wanted, yes. I have no objection that I'm aware of, and I always like to get things done too with you here. But my only thoughts then are twofold. And I guess this question is directed at the city administration. And one, any objections or issues that we're not aware of trying to sort of fast track this a little? And two, from a process standpoint, are these decisions our Geobond Oversight Committee weighed in on? Would they have some ownership to this? Is that something that they should hear, or did they not get to this decision?
I would just add that the commission can always initiate, you know, action. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that as part of the transparency that we want to achieve with the process is that, you know, they would be briefed on whatever this kind of change is, and they would be free to make a motion, you know, either way on to support or not support it. And it's the commission vote that's the actual driver here.
Commissioner Richardson, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have any objections to moving this. I would ask if we know of any other initiatives that have been asked to be moved forward and that we're going to now hurt someone's feelings if we move this one and we don't move somebody else. But, you know, for me, this raises a bigger question, and maybe I'll put this on the agenda. In fact, I think I will. In that maybe we should be moving a lot of projects forward if we have the wherewithal to manage them, because money is cheap right now in terms of borrowing. And, you know, I think maybe we don't have to have that conversation here, but maybe we should ask the administration to look at the cost of money today versus what it could be 5 years from now. So I'm going to bring that item in the full commission. And so the administration will be prepared to talk about that. But I have no objections, Chair, to moving this, as you have suggested, the design work and then borrowing the money and then having the project moving to tranche two.
Okay. Well, thank you, Commissioner Richardson. I will tell you, I like your thought there, Commissioner Richardson. I would support that direction. I think John wants to speak about it for the very reasons you just mentioned. By the way, and I'm not aware of us moving potentially schedules from one tranche to another. The only reason I brought this one is because it's literally such a small amount, $750,000. And it's a fairly easy thing to execute. Skate parks are like actually really easy to do. So that's why I did it. And I noticed it was so far out. I was concerned that, you know, we'll all be out of office by then. And, you know, a whole generation of kids won't benefit from it. That's the only reason I did it. But I do like your idea there, Commissioner Richardson. And John, I think you wanted to.
Yeah, just a quick suggestion here might be that we come back next month, and in between now and then, the GEO bond team gets together and kind of reviews if there's any projects that look like may push out that actually sort of just creates the capacity to be able to move this project up without having to go through a bunch of machinations and taking a lot of time. So we just need probably a little time internally to review, you know, all the projects, see where we're at in the parks category, and see if there's an ability to potentially advance that project, given that there's savings in another project, or another project looks like it's going to take longer, or there's a good recommendation to push out a project that was in tranche one to maybe a tranche two potentially. So I'd like the opportunity to come back in about a month and see if we can make that happen. As far as Commissioner Richardson's point about the cost of money, yes, this is a great time to borrow. So what I'm anticipating is if we get closer to tranche two, which is probably about a year from now, is when we would really be getting serious about talking about what that original, you know, sequencing of projects, if we change it. I'm guessing right now, based on market conditions, that we would issue more than what we originally planned on issuing for tranche two. And as a result, we would have the opportunity to hopefully be able to advance some of the projects that were maybe in tranche three and four. Maybe we'd only have three tranches, for example, instead of four as we originally planned. And I think these market conditions will last at least until at least a year from when we're getting serious about tranche two.
But John, is this money that we're borrowing, is it 30-year money?
Yes, it is. It's just that we would have a hard time borrowing new money if we had not substantially spent the money that we've already borrowed. And so part of the rationale of the tranches is that you borrow what you think you can spend in approximately 3 years. And so, you know, we'll have a much better idea of our burn rate as we get into about a year from now. And that's when we can start making a lot of decisions about, okay, what does tranche two look like? I think we have an opportunity to do more sooner, given the market conditions. And so that's something that we can definitely explore. I just think it's a little premature right now. That's all.
And when is your next, when is the next GEOBOND meeting?
Well, there's the GEOBOND Oversight Committee meetings, and then we have internal meetings of our team. For the question that we were talking about, looking to see if there's savings or looking to see if there's another project that we could push out and advance this one, we would need to meet internally, report back to you, and somewhere in that time frame, we could catch a GEOBOND Oversight Committee meeting either before or after you make a decision. But I think Maria Hernandez is on the call, and she's the expert in that area.
And do we have to, if we wanted to, when you have your internal meeting, if we wanted to act on that, would we need to send that to the oversight committee, or we could vote on it and send our decision to the oversight committee?
Aye.
John, that's for you. John, I'm asking, and we'll, but John, I want to know if
I don't think
you're going to have your internal meeting, you said, and you're going to decide whether or not something might be moved or whatever. And then do you have to make your changes? Do you have to take your internal decisions to the GEO oversight for ratification, or can it just come back to here and we can ratify and tell them what we want to do?
Yeah, the GEO bond oversight committee is advisory. So
it's advisory. Okay, thank you.
It's really up to the commission. It's just for clear transparency and all those reasons, we try to make sure that they get involved early. And what, you know, whatever that process is. And Maria can add to that a little bit too, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here. I think you have unanimous support to try and accelerate the skate park project. Sounds like the administration needs 30 days and would bring it back to our meeting in July. Sounds like they want to do that right planning, come back to us on that, and then make sure that the GEO bond oversight committee continues to play their advisory role. So I For me, I'm willing to give 30 more days to let that happen.
Okay, Commissioner Richardson, anybody?
No, I think we're all in agreement that we're supporting your proposal and chair, and we just need to give them some time to figure out whether or not there's funding there for all of the park and so forth, and then they can come back and advise us.
Yeah, of course. Great. Okay. Colleagues, I think
I know, Maria, you had some stuff, but I'm going to bring an item in the June meeting to talk about the geo bond initiative, the overall. So I think we're done.
We're done. Anybody else? I see a hand up. Okay, I see a hand up. That looks like Matisse. Matisse, you're keeping me from my son, so make it quick.
I'll make it short. Thank you. First of all, great that you brought this up. I just want to remind you and staff that during the process of establishing the skate park in North Beach, it was scaled down. It was a design created at the time componently to be able to expand it, and also then was scaled back. So if we are happy with the supplier, I believe, I don't want to call him out personally, but Jonas Strauss did a great job. Most of us were there at the grand opening, and he already has designs for an expansion to this skate park. And if we review that, we can cut back on time, tremendous amount of time in the design stage, and to be able to accelerate this. And just thank you for your consideration.
Okay. All right, colleagues, is that it? Okay, I want to thank everybody, staff, colleagues. Nice seeing everyone again. Good meeting. Got a lot done today. Enjoy your weekend.
Looks like you too. Have a good weekend, everyone.
Enjoy the beach. We got the beach back. That's great.
Bye.